You know, recently I've started giving a name to the portions. If you've gone onto the website or seen on our email, on our Facebook site, I've been giving actual names to the portions, to the messages. It used to be just the name of the Torah portion and then the Jewish year. Well, I've tacked on actual names to that now. And the name for this one is Faith Accepting Even When You Don't Like Them. Even when you don't like, even that, what do I have? Accepting even what you don't like. Because looking back over the last couple of portions, boy, they're kind of tough portions to read, aren't they? They have some things in there that, you know, we don't like them very much. You know, we talked about the other week, I talked about icky things that are in there. You know, there are things that people don't like to talk about. You know, going even far back as Shemini a few weeks ago, you know, we have Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, who die giving what they thought was an appropriate offering. They thought they were doing the right thing, but they died doing it because it wasn't. And that kind of is uncomfortable because we think we're doing the right thing. Why did they die? But we were able to kind of talk that through. Still a little tough for some people, but we got through it. A little bit of discomfort. Then we got to Tatzria regarding the clean and unclean, the menstruations of women, I don't know, menstrual cycles of women, skin diseases, you know, things that most people, men and women, don't think are appropriate conversations for the public, you know, not socially fit. Now we get to Mitzorah, which is pretty much even more of the same. We get to speak about skin diseases, yay! We get to speak about bodily discharges, yay! These are not, you know, I saw, you know, I, every once in a while I get to watch another rabbi doing their portions, and you know, last week I saw one or two going, you know, and then it's the, you know, that time of the month, you know, you know, they're uncomfortable saying it. You know, it's not, you know, it's not wrong that we're uncomfortable saying it, but they're just not things we want to talk about. They're uncomfortable. You know, in Reform Judaism, there are some congregations that just skip over Zahara and Mitzorah. What do they do? I don't know. I think they put in their own Torah portions for that week. We'll have separate readings. We don't like those, so we'll just put different kind of reading this week. And luckily, those two are normally tied together as a double portions. But here they are 2 weeks in a row that they've had to, I guess, replace some because they just aren't comfortable with them. So they just decide not to do it. But that's not who we're called to be in Adonai. We're called to be people of faith. That means all scripture from Adonai is good. And even as Nathan referred to, is good for training, is good for teaching, good for reproof, and even correction. That means that we have to take steps to accept all of the scriptures, not skip any of them, even when they make us uncomfortable, whether it be just words or passages or whole chapters. It's when we don't hold on to all the scriptures and their true meanings that we slip, that we slide from where we're meant to be in Yeshua. Now, we see this when we're reading through about the congregations in Revelation. We can see that that's what happened to them, to a lot of them. They had an understanding of Scripture. However, maybe either it wasn't a complete understanding, or maybe they didn't like what the Word was saying, so they modified it a bit. You know, most of the congregations in Revelation, they had something positive to say about them, but there were also issues that were being called out by Adonai. So, for example, Ephesus was called out this way in Revelation 2:4. But this I have against you. what you have forsaken, your first love. Remember from where you have fallen. Repent and do the deeds you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your menorah from its place, unless you repent. They seem to have taken hold of some of the scriptures, but they let slide those that no longer aligned with their lifestyle. They were called to repent for those things that they changed or ignored because they didn't like it. They didn't like the way it made them feel. They didn't think that it fit into their lifestyle any longer. Now, the congregation of Pergamum, you know, I practiced this one. Pergamum, you'll know it. They allowed temptation to come into the congregation, to seep into their faith. And we're told this in Revelation 2:14. But I have a few things against you. You have some there who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who was teaching Balak to put a stumbling block before Bnei Israel, to eat food sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. While they thought they were keeping the word of Adonai, some allowed temptation to modify their actions in life and were told to get back onto the path that they were on. And our final congregation I'll look at today is Laodicea, which Adonai says this in Revelation 3:15. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. Oh, that you were either cold or hot. So because you were lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'm about to spew you out of my mouth. They were keeping some of the commandments, but not all of them and not fully. They weren't considered so bad that Adonai would say, you are cold and dead and that's it. But they weren't hot for Adonai where he wants them to be either. So he says he's going to spew them out of his mouth. Now, that word spew is a polite way of saying vomit. And spew is not just a, you know, a polite vomit. If there's such a thing as a polite vomit, you know, it just didn't. It was a projectile vomit. Poo! Out of my mouth, away from me quickly. That's what Adonai is saying. I will shoot you out of my mouth because you're neither hot nor cold. Now that's a real, you know, that's a real problem for them. So here, three congregations in Revelation thought they had faith, thought that they were going the way that Adonai wanted them to go, but they didn't have a complete faith. Therefore, they were not considered worthy to be in the kingdom of Adonai. They were trying to layer on top of Scripture what they thought it should be, based on what their faith was. See, true faith is accepting what Scripture says and not trying to layer on what you think it should say based on your perceived faith. Adonai's words are not to be mixed and merged and mingled with your own or the world's. His words mean what he wants them to mean. We're not to start with them and then change them a little bit here and a little bit there. We'll just modify this one word here so that we're more careful because we think that improves them, improves the word or improves the intent of Adonai. That's not what we're called to do. Scripture shows us an example of this happening, in fact. We're shown this example through the disciple, Peter. When talking to Yeshua, he thought that he was supporting Yeshua, but was actually trying to layer on his own beliefs and his own thinking on top of what Yeshua said had to be done. on top of Yeshua's intent of what was going to happen, in fact. And we find this in Matthew 16. Many of you will find this, familiar. Matthew 16, 21. From that time on, Yeshua began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and ruling Kohanim and Torah scholars and be killed and be raised on the third day. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Never, Master, this must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but the things of men." Excuse me. I can just hear Peter say it now. "But Master, think how much more you can teach us if you don't go away. Think of how many more people you could heal with your touch if you don't leave. Think how much more you can teach us by being with us. Wouldn't that really be better, Master? Isn't that really what you want to do?" The death of their master, Yeshua, was uncomfortable to them. It didn't line up with what they thought Scripture should say. I think Peter's faith at that time was Yeshua is the salvation of the world, and he needs to be here in the flesh in order to advance his kingdom. He believed that's what Scripture was supposed to say. He believes that was what would be best for the world. But faith is putting aside what we think we know Scripture says for what it actually does say. For Peter and the rest of the disciples, they knew what the Tanakh said, that the Messiah would be brought, bring about peace. But did the Tanakh really say only while he's alive? Did it really say that it was only while he was in the body of flesh that he could do this? Did they ignore the parts that made him uncomfortable? See, they knew Isaiah 53. They knew Isaiah 53 said that he was going to bore their griefs, carry their pains, that he would be pierced for their transgressions, crushed because of our iniquities, and led to the slaughter, that he would pour out his own soul to death. But it appears that was an uncomfortable truth for them. So they put it aside. They didn't want it. They would have accepted what they perceived as good and let pass from their minds that which was too difficult for them. And we see this also when people are pulling Scripture out of context, or when they don't read into them fully what it actually says, or even when they take sayings and attribute it to Scripture when it's really not there. So let's take a couple of examples of that. Because the first one we've all heard, when a door closes, God opens a window. We've all heard that one. People use it to say, Adonai will make a way when an opportunity seems to have closed on them. And they want it to be true. They want Adonai to open a window for them when a door closes on them. But what if Adonai closed that door on purpose? What if that's a door you were not supposed to go in? What if maybe it's the right door, but it's not the right time? Maybe he's got a better path than that door that you thought you were supposed to go through. Maybe we just have to wait to wait for him to teach us everything we need to learn in that room before we're allowed out of that room. Yeshua does not want us to use alternative ways. We're called to enter the sheepfold by the door, not a window. Yeshua, when speaking to the Pharisees in John 10, says this, "Amen, amen, I tell you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber." If he closed the door, if he closes a door, which you believe was for you, don't look to climb out a window. Don't look to climb out another way. It's the robber who climbs in, not his people. Wait for him to show you the right door that's right for you. It may even be a door that everybody else is going out, but if it's closed to you, it's because it's not right for you. Instead, wait until he shows it to you. Look, if Adonai wanted you to go through that open door, do you think there's anybody strong enough to close it when his hand is holding it open? Absolutely not. Of course not. You know, if Yeshua is that door that you're to walk through, then I think that window is Satan. He's showing you another way because he doesn't want you going through Adonai's door, Yeshua. We need to look for the way that Adonai makes for us, not the way the world makes for us, not the way that Satan would make for us. That's why we have to wait for Adonai to show us the way. Sometimes, like I said, we have to just linger in that room to learn our lesson. I've been there. I've had jobs I didn't like, but Adonai forced me there until I learned a lesson. And then as soon as I learned the lesson, that door opened. We need to, you know, if we don't see that door, then we need to look. What else is in that room I'm supposed to see? What's the lesson I'm supposed to learn? Why am I here? So the second one I want to go over is God will not give you more than you can handle. We all, I mean, this one's even more so, right? Because now it invokes God's name. God will not give you more than you can handle. People say this when they're being pushed beyond what they believe they can handle by the world. People all apply this to all of their hard situations. But when Rav Shaul said something that this is out of, you know, the people bring this forth from this piece of scripture from Corinthians 10, he was talking about temptation of sin. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 10:13, because this is where people get, God will not give you more than you can handle. Rav Shaul says, the Apostle Paul says, "No temptation has taken hold of you except what is common to mankind. But God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can handle. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape so that you will be able to endure it all." Able to endure it. Shaul was speaking of temptations. And not every hard situation that we find ourselves in. He says that regardless of how big that temptation is, Adonai will help us to avoid it. And that's true. Absolutely. But the truth is that there are many situations that are overwhelming to us. Many situations that are just really hard for us to go through alone. And this is absolutely true. He will be with us. And he will help us through those situations. That's really where it's what that saying is kind of twisted. God will not give you more than you can handle. Absolutely he will. He'll do it to teach you a lesson. He'll show you something through it. Don't be trying to squirm around it, trying to climb out the window because you don't like what he's doing at the moment. These tough situations were meant so that we would turn to Adonai in them. If we were able to get through them alone, then we would become self-sufficient instead of Adonai dependent. And we would so much rather be Adonai dependent. Isn't that true? And finally, we have to be careful not to layer our own beliefs or wants onto Scripture to make ourselves feel better. Now, some people are going to say this is a hard word. And I'm going to lay it out a little bit, and I'm going to, you know, some people may just say, whoa, you've gone too far. But I don't think so. Because we see this in the world more and more. Different groups wanting to be accepted. Different groups who believe they're a certain way want to be accepted the way that they are. The fact is that Adonai knows who each of us are and who He created us to be, and did not intend us to modify who we're supposed to be. Did not intend to have us live out our lives calling sin as acceptable. Imagine hearing from a prophet or reading your scriptures, but not accepting the word because you know better. Regardless of where you gain that understanding, this will only drive us further from Adonai, putting aside our understanding and feelings and accepting the actual meaning of Scripture will always drive us closer to Adonai. Imagine, if you would, lepers got together and started a movement that declared that regardless how they became leprous, they would celebrate the fact that they're leprous and that they could live with it. And that's okay. I'm a leper and I'm proud. They totally ignore the biblical sanctions against it. They'd celebrate what Adonai did not want celebrated. Not living separated for Him, but living separated from Him. Today we see this going on in society. There are those that are stuck with attitudes and actions that are against biblical standards. But they've decided to celebrate what they are, that they're going against Adonai. And that's okay, we're going to celebrate, we're going to accept. We should expect this from the world. But it's also happening in congregations. Trying to be inclusive of others, but in the process, pushing out the standards of Adonai. That's not who congregations are called to be. Those with leprosy were not called to be unloved, but were also called out so that we can be praying for them. Remember last week I said those who were torn clothes, sackcloth, and covered their lips going around yelling, unclean, unclean, was really a cry for prayer for them. Those with leprosy are not called to be unloved, but instead called to be prayed for. As Israel moved through the desert, the people didn't forget them. They weren't left behind. They weren't unfed. They were still part of Israel. But they were unacceptable to participate in the sanctuary, to be clean. They had to be cleansed still. The leprosy was not acceptable, but the people were always acceptable until they start to take on the identity that centers on their uncleanliness. and take it on as one as they become proud of it. Rav Shaul tells us this in 1 Corinthians 5. Verses 1 and 2 of 1 Corinthians 5 says this. It is actually reported that among you there is sexual immorality, and such immorality as it is not even among the pagans, that someone has his father's wife, and you're puffed up about it. Shouldn't you have mourned instead, so that the one who did this deed might be removed from among you? As I said, we see this in the world, but also it's in our congregations these days. Those things that are to be considered sin, people have become proud of and want to be identified by their sin. This is not right in the world, but especially not in congregations. Adonai never wanted to leave any sinner without a way back. Even as they would be removed from the congregation, there was a reason they were being removed from the congregation. And we're giving this in verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 5. You are to turn such a fellow over to Satan for the destruction of his fleshly nature, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Yeshua. The reason to take the action to take him outside the congregation was so that their sin nature would be destroyed, and that one day they would be saved by Messiah Yeshua. That's the reason to remove them. You don't remove them to forget them. You don't remove them to leave them behind. You don't remove them to stop praying for them. It's so that they would be saved by Messiah Yeshua, so that the sin nature, that fleshly nature, would be destroyed. Regardless of who we think we are in the kingdom, we need to be careful. Be careful not to allow ourselves to put a layer over Scripture of what we believe, so as to change the Scripture from saying what it actually does say. Regardless of how uncomfortable they may be to us, we need to live by Scripture. We need to keep true to Scripture, even when that means taking off our own hand, chopping it off, or poking out our own eye when it's sinful. That's what Scripture says. It means reading all of Scripture and accepting all the words as His words and worthy of being followed, regardless of how uncomfortable they make us feel. Now, many of us don't have those kind of sins that would have us put outside the congregation. But we have our own sins within us, and we need to cut them off. We need to poke them out before the congregation puts us out. We need to be careful in the congregation. Not that we exclude those who have taken on a pride of their sin, but that we don't exclude the Lord in saying we're going to be exclusive of you, and that's okay, come on in and be the sinner you want to be. Instead, you want to come in? Okay, but we're going to be praying against that sin, and we're going to be helping you to remove that sin from you. That's who we need to be. We need to be the people of Adonai who believe Adonai's word, who believes his scripture is what we're supposed to live by. His scripture says, love all those he created. The sinner is still the one he created. We're still to love them. We don't love the sin, we don't accept the sin, but we can accept them and pray that their sin be destroyed. Amen? So Father, we thank you for your word. You know, the word has become, you know, this part of Leviticus that we're reading through these last couple of weeks are tough. They're hard. They're uncomfortable because they're about things we don't want to speak about in polite society. But they're still your words, and we still live by them. And we should have a comfort level speaking about them. But we also need to live by them. Help us to see the meaning behind these words today. Help us to live the meaning behind these words today and every day. Ruach HaKodesh, we thank you for your leading through these words. We thank you for your leading in helping us to escape our own sins. And we pray that we're able to help others escape from their sins. We thank you for being the one that we can trust and the one that we can look towards for all of this. We praise you and honor you and glorify you in Yeshua's name. And everyone said, Amen.